Hope looks like being a part of the community, feeling like you are uplifting your own community members, having jobs, having work, being able to support your family, being able to be present with other community members that look like you and speak your languages.
This is Hourglass, the podcast for United Way of King County in Seattle. Coming up, a conversation with Leslie Stone, the Youth Development Director for Asian Counseling and Referral Service. For more than 50 years, Asian Counseling and Referral Service, or ACRS, has offered a broad array of behavioral health programs, human services, and civic engagement activities for Asian Americans, Pacific Islanders, and other local communities. United Way of King County proudly supports ACRS and how it spends its time promoting social justice and the well-being of communities that are often underserved. I'm your host, Joe Burris. Thanks for tuning in. It should come as no surprise that, according to World Population Review, Washington State has the third highest percentage of people of Asian ancestry in the U.S., behind only Hawaii and California. Asian communities existed in this region years before Washington officially became a state. But what might be surprising to some is that as late as 50 years ago, Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders were often at risk of being misdiagnosed or receiving improper care from service providers who were unfamiliar with their culture and heritage. That is why in 1973, amid civil rights movements still sweeping the region and the country, a group of students, activists, and community volunteers gathered to address ways to remove barriers for Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders seeking quality health services, particularly mental health support and counseling. From there, Asian Counseling and Referral Service, or ACRS, was born. ACRS is committed to delivering, to coin its mantra, hope and opportunity in over 40 languages. ACRS promotes social justice, well-being, and the empowerment of Asian Americans, Pacific Islanders, and other often underserved communities, including immigrants and refugees. ACRS provides a continuum of care primarily through 14 major programs, including behavioral health and wellness, aging services for older adults, employment and training services, and recovery services. In most cases, clients are served by staff who speak the same language and come from the same culture. ACRS also provides children, youth, and families programs, supported by bilingual and bicultural Asian American and Pacific Islander counselors that help youth succeed and thrive in their communities and beyond. Through these and other programs, ACRS serves about 35,000 people annually. United Way of King County's history is intertwined with that of ACRS. David Okimoto, a former United Way Senior Vice President and board member, is a founding board member and past executive director of ACRS. And today, ACRS is one of 14 organizations of color that comprise the Racial Equity Coalition, which through United Way funding offers after-school programs that help youth celebrate their cultural identities and equip them with the tools to stay engaged in school. United Way recently sat down with ACRS Youth Development Director Leslie Stone to hear more about the organization, from its grassroots beginnings to its current work. Here's what she had to say.
It started very small in Blaine Church in the basement with some leaders that seen there was a need for mental health services and other social services. And there actually United Way gave Asian Counseling and Referral Service our first grant.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And it was for $3,000 to provide mental health services. So, you know, we have that history that goes way back with United Way.
I love when I go on your website and right there you see hope and opportunity in more than 40 languages.
Yes.
That is such a powerful, powerful statement. Can you speak to that, just the diversity of those who you serve and how you give them hope and opportunity?
Yes, we want to empower wellness for our community members. We serve immigrants and refugees. Of course, our focus is Asian, Native Hawaiian, Pacific Islander. However, we serve many communities, and we have different communities that are refugee and immigrants that decide to come to our agency. Yeah, we empower hope for our community members. We're very intentional about hiring community members to serve that are of the community and speak the languages as much as possible. Hope looks like, being a part of the community, feeling like you are uplifting your own community members, having jobs, having work, being able to support your family, being able to be present with other community members that look like you and speak your languages, and feeling just to be part of the community here in the United States. There's so many people that come from different countries, and this is the American dream for many people. But a lot of times when people come here, they're faced with a lot of disparities, health disparities, mental health, poverty. So having us, be there as community members to help lift them up and help them navigate different systems, help them understand that they have a voice and they have impact in our community, no matter where they come from or what social status they are. Just continuing to lift up our community members and, lift one another up. That is hope.
Right. Now, can you talk a little bit about the work that you do with the youth and the youth development, and what are the age groups and what is the young people that you work with, and how much do you work with the school systems?
Yeah. So originally children, youth, and families, there's the children's mental health, which is the clinical side. And my co-director is Bonnie Wang, which, fun fact, we used to facilitate recovery service groups together many, many years ago. So we just naturally work very well together. But again, I'm on the youth development side, and we have a variety of amazing youth services. So the one that has been around the longest is Get Real. And Get Real serves middle school youth in Seattle Public Schools. And we serve BIPOC youth. And we teach youth about domestic violence and sexual assault prevention. And I really wish that kind of programming was around when I was a teenager.
Right.
I am someone who experienced domestic violence as a teenager. So I really wish this kind of programming was around then. But we have those services. And, with middle school, you have to have a different approach. So it's really teaching about healthy communication skills, boundaries, red flags, within dating relationships, communication with those important relationships in your life. If you're hearing any kind of bullying behaviors, things like that, how do you advocate for your community members and your peers? That is different cycles throughout the school year. And we also have summer programs. And the neat thing about that program is high schoolers who graduate the Get Real program can come back and be mentors for middle school youth and earn a stipend.
Oh.
Yeah, so that's Get Real. The next program is Pathways to Our Future, and that is for high school youth. And we serve immigrant and refugee high schoolers that come from, you know, China, Taiwan, Southeast Asian countries like Vietnam, Cambodia, Thailand. And it's a really cool program because it's a year-long commitment. And we teach about job readiness, college readiness, resume, interviewing. We take them on field trips. We have different professionals come in and talk about their road to their career paths. That way the youth can think about what they might be interested in.
Right.
And it's also really cool because they're placed in an internship in the summertime.
Okay.
And they get a stipend. Mm. And we work with many different like local other agencies like Chinese Information Service Center, Danny Wu Gardens, just different experiences for them to have that job experience, and they could put it on their resume. So that's, again, a year-long commitment, and they earn a stipend. And the most recent program that we have that's very exciting and that United Way supports is our Queer Opportunities to Lead, Organize, and Reflect, mm-hmm. which is called Color. And we are serving LGBTQ, cutie BIPOC youth.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, I remember going by and seeing that program.
Yes.
So awesome.
Yes. And that one, you know, has been in the formative stages for the past couple years. So I've been in my role for almost 2 years now. And the first year was pretty, pretty challenging. There's, you know, we tried different ways to engage youth. But there's such a stigma with BIPOC communities, you know, feeling comfortable sharing that they are LGBTQ. Mm-hmm. So we tried so many different things. We tried Discord service. We were going to GSAs at different high schools. And we just weren't getting enough engagement.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there's coming out of COVID.
Great.
But this past year has been extremely successful. We partnered with Aki Kurosi Middle School, and most of our services are, you know, provided at Aki Kurosi Middle School. And I believe that school is 80 or 90% BIPOC.
Oh.
Yeah. And I really admire Aki Kurosi because they've fostered an environment where LGBTQ youth can, you know, say, this is who I am, and these are the types of services I'm interested in. So this past year, we've been trying many different groups. And, you know, we get the feedback from the community and the youth, and we have had like groups that are, you know, focused on short lunch time where we're talking about identity and culture. And then in the summer, the youth said they wanted to do an anime group.
Okay.
So we know that there's different themes that the youth might benefit from, like talking about family, talking about culture, talking about identity. So we intentionally looked at anime shows that the youth might relate to and then be able to process and discuss, you know, after each show. And then, of course, you know, food's really important, having cultural food and snacks for them,
mm-hmm.
Just to bond and talk and feel good about being together. And then we were, you know, experiencing coming out of COVID, there's a lot of youth that are having behavioral issues. We're also seeing intersectionality, like being BIPOC, being LGBTQ, but also maybe having some neurodivergence. And so we're trying to navigate. We don't want to just like say you can't be in this group because you're having these behavioral issues. So we're really trying to be creative and think of ways that we can engage those youth. And so we're thinking about doing like some art and some like fashion identity type groups where they're not having to really talk as much, but do more like tactile, hands-on activities. And then because Get Real is so important, that programming teaching about healthy relationships, we're also doing sexual assault and domestic violence prevention groups for the LGBTQ youth, because they're experiencing those same types of, issues and concerns, you know, bullying and inappropriate behaviors from maybe other students. So they have their own special needs that they need to be able to have a safe space to talk about these things. So we started that group as well after school.
It's interesting because, kind of like you said, I wish I could have had those kinds of vehicles and outlets to turn to when I was in middle school. And I think it was Teddy Roosevelt who said, you know, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And I think that goes triple for young people. How were you able to gird and get that trust from them?
So something that we've noticed, because we have some programs where it's you're just going after school for an hour, you know, hour and a half, and then you leave and go to the next school. With the color program, we are there 2 days a week. We're there, you know, 8 hours a day. We're there throughout the day. So I think presence in the places where the youth are at is highly important, and building that trust, building that bond, and looking, you know, being of the community is extremely important.
Right.
So like I said, intentionally, all of our YD staff are of the community. But we've had situations where maybe a youth would not normally feel comfortable saying they were sexually assaulted, or they're being bullied, or they're having suicidal ideation. So us being those trusted adults that are there on site, they know what days we're going to be there. They feel comfortable sharing these things with the team, and then the team can get them the referrals and the help that they need in that moment.
ACRS is a member of our Racial Equity Coalition.
Mm-hmm.
And so can you talk about the work that you do with REC?
I love Racial Equity Coalition. I think it was just so beautiful that we are taking so many different BIPOC agencies and having the time to be intentional and be in community and space with each other to share. Like, I remember when all of this started with like the coming back from COVID and being able to share what our struggles are, what are our challenges, you know, what is working for your agency, what can we do differently to engage our youth. But just having, you know, like, I feel like in the past, different communities have been pinned against each other, or even, competing for grants. But it feels really good for us to be together in community, lifting each other up and just laughing together, you know, bonding, just getting to know what other agencies are doing. So maybe we can refer our youth out. You know, we're not the only service. There could be some other program that they would benefit from.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And what does your after-school program look like?
Well, we have different after-school programs. So, and they're all different. We have, like, the Pathways to Our Future programming is remote and in person, so it's hybrid. And those services are bringing different, I think we serve about five different high schools all together. So that's another neat thing where they get to meet other youth from other schools at, you know, at the programming. But like I said, the color program is more rooted at Aki after school. And then the Get Real program is at different middle schools throughout Seattle.
Okay. And then lastly, for someone who is interested in being a part of or having their child to be a part of ACRS, what are some events that you have coming up through the summer?
Yeah, well, we always have our annual Walk for Rice that is happening in June. And so please come if you can, but we raise money for our food bank in our community. And we also, you know, have our youth come along so that they can get a sense of community and advocacy. We have, again, the internships for Pathways to Our Future. We're talking about what summer groups we're going to have for color. We did also have a chill club last year, so they were able to do different activities every group and then have fun snacks, you know, make smoothies, popcorn, things like that. But then, yeah, Get Real is really neat because we do a public health announcement project. So the youth actually work on, you know, creating a video or a poster that gets posted on different social media sites, you know, talking about different topics like domestic violence or, you know, bullying.
Right. Perfect. Great. Leslie Stone, ACRS, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I really appreciated the time.
Perfect. ACRS is based in Seattle, but has branch offices in Kent and Bellevue. For more information, contact acrs.org. United Way of King County partners with local organizations to help combat food insecurity. Those organizations include Ballard Food Bank, which operates like a grocery store, allowing clients to browse shelves and choose items they need, such as meats, vegetables, hygiene products, and pet food. Ballard Food Bank also has a kindness cafe that serves soups, sandwiches, coffee, and other items at no cost to the community. For more information, log on to ballardfoodbank.org. And be sure to join our virtual event, Conversations for Change, Housing Stability, on May 29th at 11:45 a.m. We will delve into King County's housing ecosystem and share more about how we're coming together to help people overcome barriers to access and retain housing. For more information, log on to uwkc.org/events. At United Way of King County, we are working side by side with communities to build an equitable future for everyone. Hourglass United Way is a podcast that highlights how we and our partners spend time making a difference in our communities. Our work is made possible by the generous donations from people like you. Please send comments and suggestions about our podcast to hourglassunitedway@gmail.com. To learn more about our work or to support United Way, log on to uwkc.org. I'm your host, Joe Burris. Thanks for listening. Until next time.